Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eagers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eagers.com.
And in order to break that tie, we have to flip a coin.
There was no question about who was going to be the nominee.
It was purely partisan and purely political.
Tonight is for every undocumented, unafraid organizer.
We all know what a bad person he is. He's a racist. He hates most Americans.
There will never, ever have been an American president with the power that Donald Trump possesses right now in this moment.
Control his caucus.
Yeah.
He can't control his caucus.
Hey, good morning. Apparently nobody can
Neither
control
can
the caucus. happy Tuesday. Happy day after the Iowa cocci, where apparently nobody...
Is that a word? Is that
yeah,
an official in, term?
apparently nobody is quite sure who the hell the winner is.
Sounds like an Avenger. Is that a new Avenger?
My sneaking suspicion is that Bernie Sanders ran away with this thing, and there is mass panic on the left this morning. I'll just have to tell you. That is my sneaking suspicion... Okay. Of what's happened in Iowa. I do believe that. I think that there are, I know there are going to be conspiracy theorists because he did so well out there last time around, and he's back in it. But why in the world would it take, this isn't even an official count. Did you hear that clip that we played right at the top there, where in some of these caucuses, they had to flip a coin to determine who won? Listen to this.
Warren and Buttigieg are tied, and in order to break that tie, we have to flip a coin.
Yeah, and there's some Warren supporter screams out, well, what are the final numbers? And they're all in a panic. Now, bear in mind, a little historical context here. Hillary Clinton was tied six times in the Iowa caucuses in 2016 with Bernie Sanders. In six different cocci, she was tied. Hillary Clinton won all six coin flips. Yeah. What are the odds of that? Flip a coin six times in a row and tell me if you figure out the winner or the loser six times in a row. Everywhere there was a question in 2016, Hillary Clinton won. And in the one case where she didn't, the guy didn't know it, but he was going to commit suicide the next day. So I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's a mess.
That's one way to make a coin toss work for
you. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. They have a mess on their hands in Iowa. All we're hearing at this point, as all the reporters are still on the ground out there at 5:14 in the morning, is at some point today, they'll have a clearer idea. They claim it's not an app, but they're having to get screenshots of totals and try to do some sort of a hand count in Iowa. So I'm just trying to keep you up to date here. Here's what we know from 2016. Now, maybe the fix was in, but they had all of the results before midnight in 2016. And this morning, there's nothing in Iowa but mass confusion. Wow.
Crazy.
What a mess. It's a mess. You know, the other big story yesterday, I hate that the caucuses covered it up, was the news about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad. We have that clip this morning, don't we? Didn't I see that in your sheet here? Let's play that, please. Thank you.
I have been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. First realized something was wrong on my birthday weekend, January 12th. There are going to be days that I'm not going to be able to be here because I'm undergoing treatment or I'm reacting to treatment. So this has happened, and my intention is to come here every day I can.
I tell you, I'm shocked, as I'm sure most people were when they heard that. And then within minutes, I was sickened by the idiots on the left in this country with the comments they put out on social media, basically wishing death on Rush Limbaugh because he has an opinion that's different than theirs. Plain and simple. The reaction to this man's horrible news about advanced lung cancer diagnosis was met on Twitter by wishes for his quick and painful death by people on Twitter. I just can't imagine the twisted mentality of the folks out there on the left in this country sometimes. It's amazing to me. And we wish nothing but the best for Limbaugh, obviously. He is the godfather of conservative talk radio. Nobody who does this for a living today who's ever done it does it without Rush Limbaugh's success starting in 1988. I remember listening to him. I almost remember the first day I ever heard him driving down the road. It was probably 1988. And my mind was blown. I'm like, there's somebody on the radio who agrees with me. It's no uh-huh. surprise to me that 14 million people a day tune into his listening audience. I just pray that he can beat this thing. Lord knows he's got the resources to do it if it's possible. So we wish the best to Rush. We're going to get to a quick break here. We'll get back with more news on the caucuses. We'll get to your phone calls as well at 314-241-9797.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we've watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
cut away and talk more about the breaking news story here in Des Moines and across Iowa with this Iowa caucus mess.
Yeah, what we have here, folks, in Iowa this morning is it's a mess. Can I just tell you that? It is a complete mess, and here's kind of what's at stake. I don't listen to him much, but listen to Van Jones from CNN. Cut 20, please.
Tonight, if he does really well, you're going to see money move to him. But if he stalls out, if he's third or fourth tonight, then he's going to have a big, big problem going forward because he's going to run out of cash.
Yeah, this is going to be a problem, and here's why I think that, because there were some final unreleased polls out of Des Moines that they didn't release these to the public. This is interesting, and kudos to Jim Hoft over at the Gateway Pundit for moving this story last night. It was the Des Moines Register newspaper decided not to release the results of its last poll this past weekend. And according to these folks, it's because, you know, they said it's because Buttigieg's name was omitted by at least one pollster. Here's the bigger story, because apparently the news website 538 obtained the final poll, and Joe Biden was in fourth place. They're panicking about this. The unreleased poll had Sanders at 22%, Warren at 18%, Buttigieg at 16%, and Biden at 13%. And I think to Van Jones's point there, if Joe Biden comes out of this in fourth place, mm-hmm. that distant to the top three most progressive candidates on the ballot, or at least who've gained any ground, the death march has begun for Joe Biden's campaign. I don't see how you get around that fact. I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, what they've got out there is, go to cut 21. Listen to Chuckles Todd, please.
It is not good that Biden, it is interesting. He's an afterthought in these college towns. And that is, it only, you know, he's the electable guy. But Sanders' big shot at him is, can he get young voters out? It's not a good look if you're not even getting threshold.
Let me explain how these caucuses work. Imagine going into a high school gymnasium filled with people, and they tell you there are four corners in a gym, right?
Mm-hmm.
That corner is for Bernie Sanders supporters. This corner is for Elizabeth Warren. Over there is Joe Biden. Here's Buttigieg. Warren is against the back wall. You pick a spot in the room, and people who are interested in that candidate, they mosey on over there, and then they count them. They take a hand count, and then they go back and they take a second count, and then they take a third count, and those are supposed to be the results of the caucus. And then the people in that room are welcome to move on to another caucus site if they want, where votes are being counted. It's a very fluid situation. I don't even know how they come out of it and expect the results to mean anything, because people can vote multiple times if they can get to
then
different caucus sites.
Why does this mean anything?
I have
no
idea.
It's so confusing to me.
It's very confusing.
It's got to be inaccurate, and it's only people that are super passionate that are showing up, right? So it's not even not even like a good test of who's of a voter. It's not a primary even, you know?
So they took their counts, and they sent them in to the voting officials, who claimed that there were irregularities in at least three of the vote totals they brought in. Well, what the hell does that mean? They counted them. There may have been some coin flips along the way, as we know. But what does it mean that there were irregularities? They blamed it on an app that malfunctioned, mm-hmm. of some sort of an app that they're using to gather these vote totals.
Not a real good time to roll out something that hasn't been tested before.
True. It's like the electric ballots at polling places. That's always an issue for people.
Mm-hmm. I just want to point out that these are the people who want you to accept them running government health care. Just keep that in the back of your mind. They can't add up votes in a single caucus night in Iowa. This is a mess. We're going to talk more about it. As the results come in, we're going to let you know first right here. 314-241-9797. What say you? We'll take your calls. Wow. You know, I'm sure that people might tune into things that are happening in Jeff City occasionally. I don't think the average listener pays as much attention as you or I do. But I've watched some talking heads talking about, I hate to keep bringing it up, but there's even an angry letter to the editor in the Post today about the vote on Clean Missouri. This thing's moving ahead. We're going to get to a vote on this in August, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And last week, there was about an 11-hour debate in the Senate. If you really talk about the intensity, I mean, the debate went from 4 to almost 2 or 3 in the morning, and it didn't complete. It wasn't concluded. They'll bring it back up probably this week, and it'll come out of the Senate. This is going to go back on the ballot. Look, for those that wanted the ethical changes, those things are being tightened up. The how much you can give, the ban on lobbyist gifts, all those things are still there, even a little tighter. The challenge is the legislature and a number of folks had a huge, and leadership especially, had a huge problem with this demographer, this sort of sole drawer of the lines or boundaries, and that's going to be taken out if the voters approve it. The thing I think that people can, people who are frustrated, hey, why are we revisiting this, is because there was a real concern that people did not understand what they were doing and what it meant. You talked about people not paying attention to Jeff City. Even fewer people pay attention to who draws the representative boundaries because it only happens every 10 years.
Yeah, very true. But last week, the Democrats tried to slow this down a little bit, didn't they, with a filibuster?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The reason the debate went on for 11 hours was because of an organized and orchestrated Democratic filibuster, which will resume to some degree. So I imagine there'll be another lengthy debate with a filibuster on the other side of it. Ultimately, I think this gets out of the this resolution, SJR, gets out of the Senate, where there won't be the same kind of filibuster because the rules are different in the House. And once it gets to the House, and I believe it will, then it'll be forwarded on to the governor's office, not for signature, but for assignment on either the August or the November ballot.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot to it. I think this time people, look, Mark, you and I have talked about this. People didn't understand. If it goes back on the ballot August or November and the voters decide to reject this proposal, then they will be saying, hey, we want to give this demographer thing a chance. But it won't be obscured by a bunch of other things that make it feel like you're voting for something to do with ethics and not district drawing.
Yeah, true. Nick Schroer, our friend from out in St. Charles County, held a news conference the other day talking about legislation that he wants to get through that would effectively give the St. Louis Police Department the opportunity to go straight to Eric Schmidt's office, the attorney general's office, with crime cases and sort of circumvent the circuit attorney.
Yeah, I think the way I think Nick's bill, and there's a Senate version as well, is really designed is if there is a case that the circuit attorney's office does not want to prosecute for whatever reason, the law enforcement isn't DOA. Right now, if you are a police officer, you have a case, you want a warrant out, you take it to your local circuit attorney. And that's in all 114 counties, by the way. You take it to your local circuit attorney. They either issue or not. And that's usually the end of it. If they issue, the case goes forward. If they don't, it's over. And because of this sort of, you got a lawsuit between the city circuit attorney and the police department, there's this disconnect, this tension. So Schroer and others are saying, hey, for the police officers in the city, who are also in Jeff City taking up the residency issue at the request of the city, the mayor's office, let's give them the ability, if the circuit attorney's office rejects the case, to go straight to the attorney general. That's not normal. It's not unprecedented. There are a number of counties, by the way, where prosecutors don't have the experience, Mark, or the aptitude to handle cases. And they, in those counties, they bring the circuit attorney in their office as a special prosecutor. We'll see what the general census is on this in terms of the broader conversation. But Schroer is trying to give a line of access to prosecution that he believes, and a number of others believe, is closed off now because of the lack of a working, healthy working relationship between the circuit attorney's office and the St. Louis Police Department.
I'd say there's a lack of a working relationship. They don't seem to talk to each other very often.
Well, they don't talk to each other, Mark, it seems like, unless it's through the context of legal action or suing or heated rhetoric. There's no healthy dialogue. As I mentioned before, there's a case where the police union is being sued by the circuit attorney. I think that's unprecedented. I mean, I don't have any record of it. So it would seem that if you're suing the police agency or at least their representative union, that relationship is probably not a healthy functioning relationship on the day-to-day stuff.
Well, of course it's not. And, fortunately, Rodney, and we're talking to Rodney Boyd, who hosts Insider Talk here on Sundays at the radio station. We've got a situation now where the U.S. Attorney's office here in St. Louis has had to step in recently to prosecute a couple of carjackers because the city police, or the, not the city police, the city prosecutor's office wouldn't do it.
I want to expand on that. The U.S. Attorney's Office is actually prosecuting, this may be surprising to your listeners, hundreds of cases, not just a couple, hundreds of cases that the role of the U.S. Attorney's Office in this region has probably never been more utilized at any time in our history for a lot of reasons. But I think it's somewhat unprecedented, the volume of cases that have a federal prosecution charge versus a state charge. And I don't think that that's going to change anytime soon. I have heard from some federal judges who feel like they're working harder now than they've ever had to work. And I'm not going to, join the pity party. But the fact is that the U.S. Attorney's Office, federal prosecutor and federal judges are handling a volume of cases in the St. Louis region, I think is unprecedented.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad they're doing it because the problem is there's a void and somebody needs to step in. Because there's still no question in my mind that the greatest deterrent to committing another crime is when you have some steel bars between you and your next victim. And that's what Kim Gardner doesn't seem to understand.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The greatest deterrent for crime is conviction, because if you send a message that it's unacceptable. If you look around at the counties where crime is low, people just know I'm not going to go to St. Charles County or Warren County or whatever county where prosecution is aggressive. So people make a choice. Criminals make a choice to commit crimes in areas where they think they've got a better chance of not being convicted for whatever reason. So yeah. I think your point is well taken. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, we've got a lot of issues that are going on in terms of public safety in Jeff City. I know people don't pay attention, but that is actually where more policy that affects your life is made on an annual basis than anywhere at any other level of government, federal or local. It's Jeff City. So I appreciate you for allowing that conversation to come on at least on a regular basis to give people the option to pay attention, to what's happening at the state house, because it's really going to impact you at your local house, whether you're paying attention to it or not. It's your choice.
Yeah, very true. Saw where Tashara Jones is making some fundraising moves as well as she gears up to run for mayor in the city.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, Tashara Jones is the city treasurer. She ran in a very crowded Democratic primary a couple of years ago. I think there were five elected officials, a total of seven or eight people. She lost to incumbent Mayor Prusin by 800 votes. The question that people have now is she going to be able to get in and have a more sort of a bilateral, even trilateral race, or will there be another six or seven people, which tends to serve incumbent well? But she is gearing up. We saw a few weeks ago an alderwoman, Kara Spencer, who appeals to, I'm told, progressives and sort of liberal, millennial-type voters get in the race early before, formally get in. And there are other people that are thinking about getting in. There's always a conversation about President Board Alderman Lewis Reed, what's he going to do? And so, she is making moves. The challenge, I think, in a city, in the city of St. Louis, if you get four or five, elected officials in a race, that tends, I think, to err in favor of the incumbent.
Well, and speaking of incumbents, I can't remember, Rodney, when we talked last week, if I'd seen the poll yet, where Governor Parson is beating Nicole Galloway by 10 or 12 points in early polling, might have been more than that, would have beaten Eric Greitens in a primary, according to the polling that came out. He's in a pretty strong position.
Well, I just thought about this. I saw some of his posts from out in at the Super Bowl, and then winning. I mean, people are emotionally, they get emotional. If the economy's good, if they're feeling good. Well, look, the election's in November. We still got a ways to go. But right now, a lot of Missourians are feeling pretty good about where the state is, where it's headed. The winning, all the other things that are happening doesn't certainly hurt him at all. And I think he's played it pretty safe. So I think he gets through this session pretty much intact. And I think there's going to be a very difficult chance to unseat him. If you also look at the polling that was recently done about where Missourians are, Republican voters are on President Trump, he's very strong in Missouri. And, looking, we've got the Iowa caucus today, and it appears that Bernie Sanders may actually pull this thing off. And if he does, it's really going to be very difficult for the Democrats to put together the kind of ticket that's going to do anything of substance in Missouri. So all that, I think, bodes well for Governor Parson going into the next election cycle. Now, it's a long way. when I both know anything can happen down the road. But for now, he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I would say. And it, that poll I saw also included Trump on the ballot, and it showed that he's still got a pretty strong, not as strong as Governor Parsons, but certainly pretty strong polling numbers in the state of Missouri.
He does. And then there's also, for the president, as you and I both know, the unpolled support.
Right.
There are a lot of people that just aren't going to tell you what they're going to do when it comes to President Trump. They're going to vote for him. So that unpolled support is why he was predicted in the last election to maybe win by, you know, 9 points, but he ends up winning by 19 in Missouri. Also, remember, this Wednesday, there's a high probability that the president's going to have an acquittal from the Senate in this impeachment. So here's the deal. The president's got a state of the state on Tuesday. He'll probably get, probably be an acquittal unless something real drastic changes in the next 40 hours. Then acquittal on Wednesday. It'll be a big week for him, and he's going to carry that forward. And he's going to talk about why he thought he was railroaded, and a lot of people are going to nod and agree. So I think the polling is never going to tell you the full spectrum of where people are going to be. But if he's up in the polls, he's not going to go down in Missouri any less.
Well, I think it's a great point. Rodney Boyd, thanks as always. We appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Sundays noon to 1 here. Insider Talk on 971 FM Talk.
This is exactly and precisely what the founders feared. This was the first totally partisan presidential impeachment in our nation's history. And it should be our last.
Jay Sekulow, I told you the Senate would be in session yesterday. There he was making the final arguments. They will reconvene tomorrow after the State of the Union, which happens tonight, I believe at 8 o'clock East, Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern. We're going to have live coverage with Fox News Radio starting at 7 right here on the radio station this evening. Correct? Did I get that
That's what we believe.
We believe that to be the case. Fox News Radio is going to have complete coverage. They'll be talking, I'm sure, about Iowa caucus results leading up to it. And in case you're wondering, it is 5:53 Central Time. Remember time and weather? Remember that? Do you remember being able to call a phone number and get the time years ago? Isn't that weird?
Yes.
That you don't need that anymore?
Wait.
One of those things you'll never need anymore?
There was an information line that would give you the weather.
Okay, like the weather makes sense.
You could dial a number and it would tell you exactly what time it was, too.
Because you didn't have clocks?
Well, let's say, for example, your clock had a battery in it and it died and you needed to know the exact time that you could call a number and get the time and the temperature.
Hmm. That's archaic.
It's archaic. It is archaic. But the point is, let me be your talking clock this morning. It is 5:54 in the morning Central Time. Your president is awake and tweeting. I just want you to know that. Here's what he tweeted 19 minutes ago. He's been awake for at least 20 minutes now. The Democratic caucus is an unmitigated disaster. Nothing works, just like the way they ran the country. Remember the $5 billion Obamacare website that should have cost 2% of that? The only person that can claim a very big victory in Iowa last night was Trump. And Trump is in parentheses for some reason.
Quotes.
In quotes. I know my grammar.
You got
but
this.
I got that wrong.
It's early.
And it's already been retweeted 4,700 times and liked 18,000 times. So he's right, though. It is an unmitigated disaster. Somebody called in earlier and said he wanted to know, Bill called in and wanted to know why Iowa is so important to the rest of the country. Well, I mean, I think that's a really good question. It has tended to be, at least
historically. Isn't it more just tradition at this point?
It is tradition, but it's tended to be a little bit of a bellwether for what's going to happen. I mean, that often, historically, the people that have won Iowa, not always, have gone on to win their party's nomination. The person that's won Iowa for the respective parties has also often gone on to win the presidency, which is interesting, right? That doesn't mean it it gives a preference to one over the other. Apparently, in one of these, in the state of Iowa, for example, it voted for Barack Obama twice. It went big for Donald Trump in 2016. And there are lots of stories out of Iowa this morning that suggest a lot of those people who voted for Barack Obama twice flipped their vote for Donald Trump in 2016. And in stories I've read this morning, going back to people and asking, who did you vote for in 2012? Who did you vote for in 2016? They didn't find hardly anyone who voted for Trump in 2016 who wasn't planning to vote for Trump again. So in that respect, Iowa is sort of, a glimpse into the electorate in the heartland of the country. I mean, I don't think Iowa is a state that Donald Trump needs to worry about, just like Missouri isn't a state that Donald Trump needs to worry about. But the bad news for Democrats is it also means in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, which Trump flipped, those people don't feel any differently than the ones in Iowa. Why would they? Look at the economy. Look at unemployment numbers. Look at trade issues. In every one of those categories, Donald Trump is winning. And you may not like some of his tweets. He may seem a little gruff sometimes. So what? You need a president to make you feel good if the economy sucks? That makes no sense. Hey, we got Speaker Tim Jones coming up in the next hour. Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends joins us later. And State Representative Nick Schroer is going to join us as well. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.